the words of Jesus. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it's completed. Do you think that I've come to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in 1 household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Let's pray. God, following these difficult words, we pray for courage. We pray for honesty. We pray for faith that conversations that need to happen can actually happen, that our fears will be pushed aside and that we can fully participate in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to begin this morning talking a little bit about families. Families are goal-oriented organizations, but often these goals compete. I find that out in my work frequently. For example, all families experience natural changes as members age, enter, and exit. Families also develop a set of roles and rules that create cohesion and community for each stage of the developmental cycle. You may or may not have heard this morning, but there are a growing number of families with babies at Brookline. To these families, your family will seek to spend as much time at home providing nurturance and attachment to your children, often at the expense of extracurricular social activity. My sister-in-law and my brother-in-law, they have a 15-month-old, and they have an incredibly detailed schedule for the feeding, the sleeping, and the playtime of our nephew Ryder. This meets his needs for learning that the world, particularly mommy and daddy, are safe and secure. Now, these goals will alter as your children enter elementary school. The family schedule will loosen slightly to include more activities and more friends. Roles and rules of the families will shift as the children get older, and most families want their children to be responsible, functioning adults. So they provide chores and they give freedoms, such as curfew or the keys to the car to test responsibility. In the family therapy world, we call this goal of family development differentiation. Big SAT word for the day. Differentiation is the ability of an individual to live interdependently of and from his or her family of origin, and make independent choices without being affected by external emotional problems such as guilt or anxiety from their families of origin. Families need flexibility in order to move in and out of these developmental stages and to encourage the proper development of each of its members. Research shows that families are dysfunctional. It's important to state that through the lens of systems theory, though that's what I do in my work, individual people aren't dysfunctional, but it's the methods through which they organize themselves. That's where dysfunction sets in. The differentiation process, the developmental process, often causes conflict and change amongst family members. People and systems don't like change. Differentiation's competing goal is homeostasis, the maintenance of family roles and structure, and thus the inability to move from one stage to the next appropriately. Family systems seek homeostasis, they seek normalcy, and they do that through unique interaction patterns. I have a client named Matt, for example. Matt's 27, And he lives at home with his mother, a woman with severe anger issues, probably a result of her own issues with a family of origin, but that information is speculative. Matt and I are essentially working toward becoming an adult. He wants to hold down a job, though has been unable to because of his own anger issues. And he wants to live in his own apartment. However, Matt reports an enormous amount of responsibility for his underfunctioning mother, a recovering drug user. Matt feels this anxiety the most when they're driving around Brockton, the town that he lives in. Someone will cut Matt's mom off, and she'll roll down the window and make threatening comments to these drivers. Matt's presence in the car, his negotiating skills, and in a worst case, his imposing figure, he's 6'2", prevent mom from following through with her risky threats. Matt reports that if he's not there, something bad could happen to his mom. And subconsciously, that would create unresolved emotional issues, as Matt would not be able to share his feelings from the time he was neglected by mom's drug use. So I begin with an introduction to family systems theory and this case study because in our reading this morning, I'm struck by Jesus' usage of family relationships. Most people desire peace with their families. The interactions in many families are structured around maintaining normalcy, maintaining this homeostasis, as we heard in the case study with Matt, often through the avoidance of the volatility of intense emotional investments. While we desire for the familiarity and the harmony of homeostasis, Jesus comes along in Luke 12 and says that the kingdom of God incites these divisions and encourages conflict amongst family members. Our passage serves as an inset in a larger set of warnings against power structures. Jesus' first admonition in chapter 12, in verse 2, for example, reminds his followers to be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Later, Jesus encourages his disciples, when you're brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, don't worry about how to defend yourselves or what you say. The Pharisees had a particular path towards salvation based on some rather rigid understandings of the Torah. Jesus differentiated himself from these expectations by, as we'll talk about next week, healing people on the Sabbath and conversing and dining with people outside of his social group. When Jesus speaks about initiating family conflict, if that's by speaking up when a family member, a parent does something wrong, or as is probably more common for this audience, living your faith differently than the way that your family experiences faith, he ramps up the degree of difficulty in participating in the kingdom of God. I don't give up very much if I rant about my spiteful Aunt Lucy behind the anonymity of an avatar and a computer screen. I put myself in significant emotional danger, particularly if I have a history of being rejected by loved ones, by addressing these issues with a person that I love face to face. We do things, we make allowances for family that we wouldn't do or make for other people. There's reasons for that. My mother is the first person that loved me. In fact, our first developmental goal is to achieve an emotional attachment to our mother, something that the mothers of this congregation do very well. My father was the first person who told me that I could do anything I set my mind to. I later learned that wasn't true. Nevertheless, his encouragement sparked my creativity. How many of us have parts that would try to convince us that we're letting our parents down because we chose to experience the kingdom of God in different ways? Worse, how many of us would fear criticism from or would criticize those in our families because we chose different ways of experiencing the kingdom of God than they did? Differentiation becomes an emotionally risky goal because of homeostasis, the ability that we have, the desire that we have to remain the same, to not change, to keep things status quo. People become comfortable in the rules, in the roles that are established for them, be that in their family, in the larger society. Normalcy equals security. Take Matt, for example. Matt's developed his personal identity as caretaker as a result of his painful relationship with his mother. Matt takes an enormous emotional risk by breaking homeostasis. Systems theory says that as one person attempts to change, it's not that the other people are going to change too. No, it's the reverse. Other members in the family resist that change by trying to pull that member back into his or her own known comfortable role. If Matt steps aside of the role as caretaker, Mom could become angry at Matt and criticize or guilt trip Matt back into taking the role that he had. Worse, Mom could fail at becoming an appropriately functioning member of society. She could physically hurt herself or rely on drugs as a comfort to her loneliness. Matt would feel incredibly guilty for not playing the role he's already had. How can Matt, or any of us for that matter, attain differentiation? We grow through conflict. Differentiation involves overcoming these anxious, people-pleasing parts, even at the risk of starting familial conflict, and living through a paradigm of integrity. Doing the right thing because you think it's the right thing to do, not because you're emotionally coerced into doing these things. In a minute, I want to, after we sing our next song, I want to take a few minutes to have a discussion about how to do this, about how we overcome our anxieties and participate in the kingdom of God. Because after all, we're reminded this morning that participation in the kingdom of God is often a painful process. It's not one that always involves holding hands around the campfire and singing Kumbaya. I have come to bring fire on the earth, Jesus says, and how I wish it were already kindled. I've got to be honest. I'm not always comfortable including these militant-sounding passages into our orders of worship. The kingdom of God, we're reminded, involves surprising, unexpected, and daring actions from our Maker, and also from us. The kingdom of God involves confrontation, the ability to stand up to one another and define what's right and what's wrong. The kingdom of God seeks justice against those who abuse power, which goes against, by the way, our internal desire to maintain the status quo, to maintain homeostasis, because our internal desire is to avoid conflict. The kingdom of God prompts us with the responsibility to participate as voices of social critique and actors of change. A few more thoughts on limiting the emotional pain in the process of differentiation. First of all, we worry about the people that we love. I've heard my mom say this over and over again. I worry because I care. I worry about you. I fear for you because I care for you. But remember that anxiety's presentation may not always show that. Take religion, for example. Those of us that live the kingdom of God differently than our parents do, than our families do. Our families have a particular goal in mind, often salvation, makes this difficult, adds to the emotional intensity of this. And there's a likelihood of getting snippy or over-functioning with those that we care about and that we worry about. When you find yourself worrying about someone, be mindful of the way that you're presenting that anxiety. Ask yourself, does anxiety convince me to be rude in my criticism? Does anxiety place unnecessary limits on those with whom I'm having a conflict with? Does anxiety convince me to view that person as a child as less than, when in fact they are an adult equal with. Second, there's a difference between differentiation and accommodation. Accommodation involves allowing certain behaviors to happen by creating personal adaptations that enable that behavior to exist. Accommodation often stems from anxieties that ask, what happens if I speak up? Whereas differentiation comes from a place of assertiveness. We say what we need. We say what we'd like. Third, perspective is often useful. Jesus reminds us in the middle of Luke 12, talking about do not worry. He says, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan's world, runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. And fourth, we need to set grounded, realistic expectations on ourselves and upon each other. The Hebrews writer reminds us in the chapter 11 of the faith of hundreds of men and women who promoted God's kingdom in brave ways. Some lived to tell the story. Rahab's life was spared because she invited in the spies, Joshua and Caleb, whereas others were ostracized and killed. The Hebrews writer reminds us that these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink. Let us stand and sing these words.